Week 5, Tuesday, Readings. Lord, open our lips, and we shall praise your name. The Lord is a great King. Come, let us adore him. Come, ring out our joy to the Lord. Hail the God who saves us. Let us come before him giving thanks. With songs, let us hail the Lord. A mighty God is the Lord, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his. To him belongs the sea, for he made it, and the dry land shaped by his hands. Come in, let us bow and bend low, let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we, the people who belong to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the desert, when your fathers put me to the test, when they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was wearied of these people, and I said, their hearts are astray, these people do not know my ways. Then I took an oath in my anger, never shall they enter my rest. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is a great King. Come, let us adore him. Worship, glory, praise, and honour to our God, high-throned above. We, with many generations, join to praise your name of love. In the Scriptures, by the Spirit, may we see the Saviour's face, hear his word and heed his calling, know his will and grow in grace. The Lord will protect the rights of the oppressed. Psalm 9. Lord, why do you stand far off and hide yourself in times of distress? The poor man is devoured by the pride of the wicked. He is caught in the schemes that others have made. For the wicked man boasts of his heart's desires, the covetous blasphemes and spurns the Lord. In his pride the wicked says, he will not punish. There is no God. Such are his thoughts. His path is ever untroubled. Your judgment is far from his mind. His enemies he regards with contempt. He thinks, never shall I falter. Misfortune shall never be my lot. His mouth is full of cursing, guile, oppression, mischief and deceit under his tongue. He lies in wait among the reeds, the innocent he murders in secret. His eyes are on the watch for the helpless man. He lurks in hiding like a lion in his lair. He lurks in hiding to seize the poor. He seizes the poor man and drags him away. He crouches, preparing to spring, and the helpless fall beneath his strength. He thinks in his heart, God forgets. He hides his face. He does not see. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord will protect the rights of the oppressed. Lord, you have seen our trouble and sorrow. Psalm 9 continued. Arise then, Lord, lift up your hand. O God, do not forget the poor. Why should the wicked spurn the Lord and think in his heart he will not punish? But you have seen the trouble and sorrow. You note it. You take it in hand. The helpless trusts himself to you, for you are the helper of the orphan. Break the power of the wicked and the sinner. Punish his wickedness till nothing remains. The Lord is King for ever and ever. The heathen shall perish from the land he rules. Lord, you hear the prayer of the poor. You strengthen their hearts. You turn your ear to protect the rights of the orphan and oppressed, so that mortal man may strike terror no more. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, you have seen our trouble and sorrow. The words of the Lord are words without alloy, silver from the furnace, 7 times refined. Psalm 11. Help, O Lord, for good men have vanished. Truth has gone from the sons of men. Falsehood they speak one to another, with lying lips, with a false heart. May the Lord destroy all lying lips, the tongues that speak high-sounding words, those who say, "Our tongue is our strength, our lips are our own, who is our master?" For the poor who are oppressed and the needy who groan, I myself will arise, says the Lord. I will grant them the salvation for which they thirst. The words of the Lord are words without alloy, silver from the furnace, seven times refined. It is you, O Lord, who will take us in your care and protect us for ever from this generation. See how the wicked prowl on every side, while the worthless are prized highly by the sons of men. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The words of the Lord are words without alloy, silver from the furnace, seven times refined. The Lord guides the humble in the right path. He teaches his way to the poor. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 2. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him openly. He stood self-condemned. He had been eating with the Gentiles until we were visited by certain delegates from James. But when these came, he began to draw back and hold himself aloof, overawed by the supporters of circumcision. The rest of the Jews were no less false to their principles. Barnabas himself was carried away by their insincerity. So when I found that they were not following the true path of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "Since you, who are a born Jew, follow the Gentile, not the Jewish way of life, by what right do you bind the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by right of nature. We do not come from the guilty stock of the Gentiles. Yet we found out that it is through faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, that a man is justified. We, like anyone else, had to learn to believe in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by observance of the law. Observance of the law cannot win acceptance for a single human creature. By putting our hopes of justification in Christ, we took our rank as guilty creatures like the rest. Does that mean that Christ brings us guilt? That is not to be thought of. Do I put myself in the wrong when I destroy and then rebuild? Through the law, my old self has become dead to the law, so that I may live to God. With Christ I hang upon the cross, and yet I am alive. Or rather, not I, it is Christ that lives in me. True, I am living here and now this mortal life, but my real life is the faith I have in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not spurn the grace of God. If we could be justified through the law, then Christ's death was needless. Senseless Galatians, who is it that has cast a spell on you, that you should refuse your loyalty to the truth, you who before whom Jesus Christ has been exposed to view on his cross? Let me be content with asking you one question. Was it from observance of the law that the Spirit came to you, or from obeying the call of faith? Are you so far out of your right senses? You dedicated your first beginnings to the Spirit, and can you now find your completion in outward things? Was it to no purpose that you went through so much, since it seems it was to no purpose? When God lavishes his Spirit on you and enables you to perform miracles, what is the reason for it? Your observance of the law, or your obedience to the call of faith? Remember how Abraham put his faith in God, and it was reckoned virtue in him. You must recognize then that Abraham's real children are the children of his faith. There is a passage in Scripture which, long beforehand, brings to Abraham the good news, "Through you all the nations shall be blessed," and that passage looks forward to God's justification of the Gentiles by faith. It is those, then, who take their stand on faith that share the blessing Abraham's faithfulness won. Those who take their stand on observance of the law are all under a curse. Cursed be everyone, we read, who does not persist in carrying out all that this book of the law prescribes. And indeed, that the law cannot make a man acceptable to God is clear enough. It is faith, we are told, that brings life to the just man. Whereas the law does not depend on faith. No, we are told, it is the man who carries out the commandments that will find life in them. From this curse invoked by the law, Christ has ransomed us, by himself becoming, for our sakes, an accursed thing. We read that there is a curse on the man who hangs on a gibbet. Thus, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham was to be imparted to the Gentiles, so that we, through faith, might receive the promised gift of the Spirit. Responsory from Galatians 2. It was through faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, that a man is justified. We, like everyone else, had to learn to believe in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith, not by observance of the law. If we can be justified through the law, then Christ's death was needless. We, like anyone else, had to learn to believe in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith, not by observance of the law. A reading from Origen's Homilies on Genesis. Quote, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. End of quote. In carrying the wood for the burnt offering himself, Isaac is a figure of Christ who carried his own cross. However, to carry the wood for the burnt offering belongs to the priestly office. Christ is therefore both victim and priest. This is what is referred to in the next sentence, quote, So they went both of them together. End of quote. For while Abraham, who was to offer the sacrifice, carried the fire and the knife, Isaac walked not behind, but alongside him, and this way showed that he also fulfilled the priestly function equally with him. What happened then? Scripture tells us, Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father. Spoken in that moment by his son, this word was for Abraham the voice of temptation. Imagine for yourselves how the father's heart must have been wrung when he heard the voice of the lad who was to be sacrificed. Yet, inflexible though his faith made him, he was still able to reply tenderly, What is it, my son? He said, Behold the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb of the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself with the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. This affectionate and careful reply is very moving to me. I do not know what Abraham saw in spirit, for he spoke not of the present, but of the future, when he said, God will provide himself the lamb. And his reply to his son's query about the immediate situation was made in terms of what was to come, for it was the Lord himself who was to provide the lamb in the person of Christ. Quote, Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. End of quote. Compare this with the apostle's words when he says of God, He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. See how magnificent is the generosity with which God competes with men. Abraham offered to God his mortal son, who was not to die. God delivered his immortal son for all mankind. Quote, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, And behold, behind him was a ram, caught in the thicket by his horns. End of quote. We have already said, I think, that Isaac was a type of Christ. But here the ram also seems equally to prefigure him. It is worth making the effort to discover how Isaac, who was spared, and the ram who was slain, could both equally represent Christ. Christ is the Word of God, but the Word was made flesh. Christ suffers, but in the flesh. He underwent death in the flesh, prefigured here by the ram, as St. John also saw, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." But the Word remained forever incorruptible, that is, Christ according to the Spirit, of whom Isaac is the image. Therefore, Christ is both victim and priest according to the Spirit. But he who offers the sacrifice to his Father according to the flesh is himself offered upon the altar of the cross. Responsory from John 19. They took charge of Jesus and led him out. Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out of the city to the place of the skull. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and loaded it on his son Isaac. Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out of the city to the place of the skull. Let us pray. Guard your family, Lord, with constant, loving care, for in your divine grace we place our only hope. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.